The exile of Dante Alighieri from Florence in 1302 by Pope Boniface made him an outcast, a fugitive, and a wanderer for almost 20 years. He suffered hellish loneliness, longing, and anxiety. He began to see his aimless journey as a purgatory, and in the end, he wrote a sublime epic poem that made him immortal, the Divine Comedy. The story of how Dante's travels may have shaped the poem that has been called the basis for all narrative in Western literature is the subject of a new book, Dante in Love, the World's Greatest Poem and How It Made History. Harriet Rubin is the author. She's a member of the board of editors of USA Today. Her previous best-known work was Machiavelli for Women. Harriet Rubin joins us from our studios in Chicago. Thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Why was Dante exiled? Maybe we should try and begin our narrative there.
Florence was just a riot of dissension, and it was the site of gang warfare. He was a sort of a junior senator, an alderman in effect, and he went to Rome, Dante did, and tried to buy some time from the Pope to negotiate a truce of peace. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, the art of negotiation was a fresh science at the time. It was called war with kisses. So he was trying this out, but in fact, while he was seeing Pope Boniface VIII, he was handed an edict that demanded his exile from Florence for a minimum of 2 years, and he would have to pay a usurious fine. Mm-hmm. So rather than live by any of this, he decided to go into exile.
Please take us through Dante's exile a bit, if we could. Did Dante, near as you can tell, have a course in mind? Was there some geography that naturally presented itself, or was it a kind of spiritual course that he decided to take?
Well, it's nice to consider it a spiritual course. I think he was probably running from one household to the next. He was mm-hmm. trying to evade the Florentine fathers who were out to get him if they found him.
What transformed Dante in his own mind, do you think, from a fugitive to a pilgrim and then finally to a searcher?
Probably the nature of exile in those days. The High Middle Ages, you know, are called 1,000 years without a bath. When you left the city limits, you were exposed to all the elements. In the cold, birds would stick to the trees in the frost, and in the hot summer, beetles would just sort of crack out of the dry earth. It was hell. I mean, Dante is being accurate when he describes it as the inferno. So He needed to discover the reason for this catastrophe that had befallen him. Why suddenly was he forced to live this fugitive life?
At the time Dante was writing, he was, I think it's safe to say, older than a lot of other artists who, in a sense, set out to transform their particular art or discipline.
That's the miracle of Dante's poem. He tells us in the very beginning that he wakes up in the middle of our life, and it's a very curious construction. It's the singular and the plural. He wakes up in the middle of the human life in when it's a time when, in a way, our desire to experiment seems to ebb, and we pretty much buy into what fate has given us. Mm-hmm. But Dante is shaken out of this. He wakes up and he's in this dark forest. He tells us that it was so terrible, it gave a shape to fear. But he decides to go on and to go down into the woods and see what beasts and creatures are there.
Miss Rubin, is there a section from that canto you might read to us?
From Inferno?
Yeah.
Well, why don't I read the beginning of that? This is from the John Ciardi translation, and he begins, "Midway in our life's journey, I went astray from the straight road and woke to find myself alone in a dark wood. How shall I say what wood that was? I never saw so drear, so rank, so arduous a wilderness. Its very memory gives a shape to fear."
Well, one of the epical points that the Divine Comedy makes, if I might phrase it that way, was Dante's the revelation that Dante both received and offered that good and evil and genius and stupidity all have the same source, which it's a kind of love.
What Dante wants us to learn as he goes through Inferno especially is that everyone who's in hell has made some kind of mistake in love, has defined love badly, and by so doing has kind of perverted the universe or limited their own capacity to enjoy things. They've substituted love of food or success or other, you know, women and men. They've pursued loves in the plural, and they haven't dedicated themselves to one singular love. That's really Dante's education through this epic poem.
It raises, of course, the question, the mystery, in a sense, of Beatrice, who... Are words adequate to describe this is supposed to be the central story of literature, his love for Beatrice?
Yes, to whom he never speaks, in fact.
Chaste, afar, and distant.
Well, poets and their muses.
Yeah. Let me put it flat out to you. Who was Beatrice, really?
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, really, she was two things. One is she was an actual woman who died very young at the age of 23. And when she died, he went into a deep depression and said he would write of her what had never been written of any woman. In fact, he wanted to be able to tell her that he loved her in a way that she could hear, even though she was dead. This is quite a creative challenge he has set himself.
But that's the poem, too, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Miss Rubin, can you read literature today and still see Dante's influence?
Everywhere. And I see it not only in other books, novels and poetry, but I hear it in lyrics of Bruce Springsteen or Patti Smith. You know, it's hanging in the walls of many art museums. And even if you read James Joyce's great works, you see that they're all sort of glosses on different parts of the Divine Comedy.
You write at one point, or I guess it's a quotation at some point, that half the sky belongs to Shakespeare and the rest to Dante.
Yes, and some would say Dante's half of the earth is growing. I mean, it's funny because when you read Shakespeare, you don't ever expect that you can become like Shakespeare. But when you read Dante, there's the implicit promise that if you read Dante well enough, you too can become like Dante. You can undergo this education of the soul and, you know, wake up sort of with an unprecedented kind of genius.
Harriet Rubin, her new book is Dante in Love. Miss Rubin, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.